asked the Lord a long time ago when I saw all this pretended faith and hyper spirituality and people aren't connected to the headship of Christ and people really go into deception. Where was it at in his word? And he took me to Matthew 6. And I'm just going to kind of go over this quickly. We have some really good teaching on this entire set of scriptures in the bookstore. The Lord says, take care that you do not do your merciful or your charitable or your spiritual deeds before men in order to be seen by them. But if you do those to be seen by men, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. What is he talking about here? He's talking about why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you giving in the offering? Why are you praying? Why are you reading the word? Why are you in church all day on a Saturday? And if you're doing those things, so to please man, which I know around here most people don't, okay, we get too steep and serious. Who's going to stay all day on a Saturday with the freedom around here unless God has brought you here to learn? Amen? But he's saying you've got to start seeing this, because if you've got a hurt place in you that wants attention, if you want approval of man, if you have fear of man, then really you might have that little thing that says, oh, does everybody see that I knew the answer to that scripture? Or I knew where that was at, or I knew, you know, it's about what's going on in your thinking while you're doing spiritual things. Okay. See, I want my reward from the Father in heaven. So what I do needs to be done because I'm trying to please God, because I'm being led by his Spirit, and I'm not trying to get other people's approval or to impress anybody. He says, when you do your merciful deeds, do not trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so they may be glorified by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward. And we need to be really careful, even if we pray for somebody and God heals them, there is that flesh in us that wants to go and shout, did you see what happened? And then we can get into selfish ambition and self-promotion and all these things, because it's like, look, this somehow says that I'm good. This somehow says that I'm right. And it's not about us. Amen? We're supposed to get every need met in Christ and die to self and let God heal all these things by his Spirit, so that when we do something, it's for one purpose, for God's glory. It's for one purpose. I want people healed, so God tells me to lay hands on them and they get healed. I want people delivered, so God shows me to cast the spirit out. This is about God and his glory. And honestly, there's so much teaching now to make you think it's about our glory. Okay, he goes on. Do your merciful deeds. When you do your merciful deeds, and this is even can be about giving, charitable giving. So when you do your deeds, do not let your left know what your right does, or left hand from your right. In other words, this isn't something to even sit and debate back and forth and see who's looking. You just do them because your heart is to please God. And then your merciful deeds, and do your deeds in secret, and your Father seen in secret himself will repay you in the open. And so that's even like in your giving, you know, Lord, you show me what to give, and then God will openly, a really cool example, the Lord worked out something, and so I'm getting back a certain amount of money, and the certain amount of money I'm getting back is exactly the money that Nilo, who's going on the mission field, needs for an airline ticket. Nilo didn't say a word to me about, you know, this would be, he goes to the Philippines quite a bit, and he's just had a wedding for his daughter and a lot of different things going on. So he's like, I know he wanted to go, but he didn't ask for the money for a ticket. So the morning when I got up the other day, right after I found out I was getting this money back, the Lord said to me, give that money to Nilo for his airline ticket. And my natural brain is thinking, well, he's bound to have already bought the airline ticket. He's supposed to be leaving in a few days. And the Lord just said, I told you, give the money to Nilo for his airline ticket. So I just said to Nilo, hey, did you ever get your airline ticket? Now I said, are you going to the Philippines? Oh, I really want to, but I'm not sure. I said, if I gave you an airline ticket, would you go? Yes. And then we asked, and it was the same amount. God was rewarding him openly for a lot of times that he's sown and given without telling anybody. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's okay if God openly shares that he's blessing you. Because he says he's going to repay you openly. People are going to know you have the favor of the Lord. I believe when God canceled that, put a foreclosure and canceled my obligation to pay 10 months on a house because of circumstances that whatever, but that the Lord knew I learned what I was supposed to learn and whatever. But he openly canceled that. Like, okay, this is in paper. This is over. And so God will reward us openly because he's like that. How many know when you're in school and you get the, well, some of you may not know this, but if you ever got an A on a test, a lot of times they'll put, in grade school, they put your little A up on the board, you know, and look, you got an A, and you're rewarded openly for studying. And so God wants to reward us, though. He doesn't want us walking around with the, you know, putting the bumper stickers on our own car. I am an A-plus student, you know. I am the A-plus student. So the Lord is saying, do what you do as unto me, and let me take care of rewarding you. Let me take care of rewarding you. All right. He goes on. And when you pray, do not be as the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners on the open streets so that they may be seen by men. I say to you, they have their reward. When you pray, enter into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father in secret, and your Father seen in secret will repay you in the open. So if you really believe in God, if you need a breakthrough in finances, if you need a breakthrough in protection, if you need a breakthrough in relationship, he's giving you, this is the Lord talking here. He's saying, look, here's how it works. Here how you have to have a relationship with the Father, and you need to go to him and talk to him as your Father, and you go and you pray, and you tell him what you need. You tell him what you want to see. And you and your Father, you guys have this real relationship going in secret. And the Father is so cool. He's going to repay you openly. He's going to bring you blessings. He's going to bring open doors. He's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. So we can see here, what is Jesus really trying to say? You have to have a secret life with God. You have to have a secret life with God. If you don't have a secret life with God, then your public life with God is pretended. There are a lot of people who are delusional because they have no secret life with God, but they go to meetings and, oh, I saw angels and, oh, I got slain in the spirit and all this happened and all that. And I know the word, I got it memorized. You can memorize the word, go to every meeting there is, and not have a true secret life with God. He says, when you pray, enter your room, shut the door, pray to your Father in secret, and your Father seen in secret will repay you in the open. But when you pray, do not use babbling vain words as the nations, for they think they shall be heard in their much speaking. Okay, what he's saying here is what we talked about earlier. It's not about name it, claim it, declare it, swear it. You're babbling. If I say this enough times, then I have to live. If I say this enough time, I have to get the job. If I say this, he said, don't do this babbling. Don't do this just empty talking. Don't do the babbling. That's not what prayer is about. Can I tell you how hard it is to pray? Here's how hard it is to pray. You have a talk to God. You talk to him, he talks back to you. You listen, he listens. You have the word before you to make sure that you're doing this thing right, and you mature in your relationship by reading the word to God and talking to him about it, and you make time in secret to have this relationship with God. And what's the hard part about it? Well, at first, it doesn't seem like he maybe talks back. Well, that's okay. Then that's the faith part. That's the faith part. In faith, I believe Jesus when he says I'm to go pray in secret and talk to God. And he's going to reward me openly, so maybe I won't have this great big thunderbolt kind of experience the first time or the second time, maybe 5 years. But I know that I'm going to go and I'm going to talk to God. And I'm going to believe his word. And so you don't understand, sometimes you're not mature enough or where God can speak to you in such a way, because you don't know the word. You don't know the word. How do you know it's God if you don't know the word? You might get all puffed up. So I can go and talk to God and maybe not hear anything, just maybe feel his presence. But then I can open the Bible and right there's an answer. See, to me, when I open the word and God begins to show me what I was just talking to him about, he's talking to me. Okay? He's talking to me. It's not about an audible voice conversation. It's about what? Spirit to spirit. Whoa, get that. It's about spirit to spirit. When it's spirit to spirit, I can talk to God without saying a word. I can talk to him really with my head, just really thinking these things. And sometimes it gets so real, you talk out loud. Amen? But it's not my talking out loud and my babbling out loud like some religious formula that's getting to God. It's a heart that's connected with the Spirit of God. And it says, oh, God, here I am to talk to you. Teach me about you. One of my favorite prayers, Holy Spirit, teach me something about Jesus I don't know. Teach me about the Father. And then I open the scriptures believing for that. And then, boom, he begins to speak through his word. Do you understand what I'm saying? God wants today, the message today, what God wants us to do, to walk in divine protection, divine provision, to walk in guidance and wisdom, and the Lord showing us these things. What is he telling us? He's telling us to get free from pretended wisdom, pretended love, pretended brotherly love, and move into spirit to spirit communication with God, where his word is life to you. Get in his presence and then talk to him. Put on some worship music. Well, I don't feel anything. Then you do it in faith. You do it in faith until there's a breakthrough. And even when you're doing it in faith, because it's in faith and not fear, you're having a relationship with God. Amen?
Well, I'm doing this until I feel God.
Well, then you're doing it. What? Why aren't you doing it in faith right now? I'm doing it in faith that even if I don't hear God or I don't feel God's presence, for whatever reason, whether there's some blockage, whether, you know, whatever, I'm doing it in faith that he still hears me. I'm doing it in faith that he is who he says he is. I'm doing it in faith that he's faithful to his word. I'm doing it in faith. We have one person who's part of the ministry and part of one of our small groups. We also have extra other small groups outside that meet outside of the church. And so this one lady comes and she just has the hardest time just really feeling the presence of God. There's a real blockage there. And sometimes the enemy tries to make her feel like, well, God doesn't hear you or your prayers don't count or whatever. But then we stop. We were somewhere recently. I can't remember the situation. We have so many. Everything in life is supernatural. Every minute, every day there's a divine yay of God. You know what I'm saying? So I don't have the one moment in time. I can't even begin to tell you. It's an awesome life, spirit to spirit with God. And so I forgot what was going on. Oh, I know. Anyway, it was an intercession kind of thing. And she didn't go to this meeting. The rest of us went to this meeting. And the speaker was really good about this one topic. And so we were praying about this topic and asking the Lord to give us confirmation and stuff. Well, this person who didn't go to the meeting walks in the room and brings up the name of that. There was a movie coming out about the same topic. I think, I don't remember what it's about, but anyway, something about artificial intelligence or something. And this person walks in the room, not having a clue what was talked about, not having a clue what we were praying about, walks in the room and brings up that movie. And I'm like, you know, don't ever think that God is not ordering your steps. Don't ever think that God is not using your mouth and bringing confirmation to things. You just have a blockage right now that God is going to break through, but in faith, you keep walking where you're walking. You see what I'm saying? You can't say, I'm afraid he's not hearing me. Okay, well, what is that? Is that in faith or in fear? Fear is your enemy. Fear is faith in the devil. Fear actually says, the devil is bigger than my God. That's what fear does. Fear says the devil. And guess what? When we're in fear, we block. We don't have the faith, which is the substance of what we're believing God for. We don't have that substance. And pretended faith is not the answer to fear. Relationship with God is the answer to fear. Because his perfect love will cast that fear out. Wow. Over to, okay, I did it. I spent 20 minutes just hanging out and talking to God. It seemed kind of foolish. I closed the door like he said. But, you know, I felt really good afterwards. And it's to become a what? Way of life. Please don't say devotional time to me. The Bible doesn't call it devotional time. I can't imagine if my husband went into work and everybody's talking about their wives. And yeah, my wife and I, we had our devotional time. What? Oh, I just had my devotional. I just read something about my wife and it was just so nice. But God didn't tell us to have an hour devotional time. That can be religion. Relationships shouldn't have alarm. Ding, up, my hour's up. Gotta go. Glad I got through that. I mean, even when people kind of coined the term devotional time, doesn't it sound kind of in the head and not the heart? Well, my devotional time. And I'm going to say, maybe that's what you call your prayer time, but how about calling it prayer time? Then we could be kind of biblical. But the bottom line is, prayer is talking to God. So this morning when I talked to God and I spent time with God and I received spirit to spirit from his word, from worship, from just intimacy with him, it was awesome. I said, well, you know, I went to have this prayer time with God and I didn't feel anything. So, what does that mean? I guess it means I didn't feel anything. Does that mean God didn't hear you? Is there scripture that says if I didn't feel anything, God didn't hear me? Do you know one of the main reasons you don't feel the presence of God yet is you can have a blockage here, but some of you haven't taken the time for your flesh to die and for the Spirit of God to begin to break through your guards and to break through your intellect to a place where you just get flooded with his presence. It takes some time to get your relationship that strong with God. Amen? But you start out having conversation. You start out telling him your needs. You start out telling him these things. What? In secret. But you, when you pray, enter into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father in secret. Your Father's seen in secret. So if you pray to your Father, does it say, pray to your Father in secret, and if you feel him, then he sees you? No, it promises if you have a heart to go and close yourself away and pray to the Father, there is a promise here that he sees you. And there's a promise here that he's going to reward you in the open. And when you pray, do not be babbling vain words, for they think they shall be heard by their much speaking. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. He already knows. Another scripture about ask, believing. But he doesn't want you to spend all your time just telling him everything you need and how bad everything is. He wants you to spend your time getting to know him. I mean, I'll be honest with you. If the person that you want to marry, or when you were dating the person that you married, and every time they tried to start a conversation, you just told them what you wanted from them. Well, now, John, how much money do you make? Will you buy me a car? And we're going to get a house? How long before we get a house? This is our first date, you know. Can I have a lot of clothes? Do I get the big closet? Do you have a charge card? Will you get me a charge card? Can I have a charge card? I mean, how much would you come back? For something's wrong with you if you call that person again for the second date. But that's how we want to go out and develop our relationship with God. Well, God, they told me to come pray in secret, so here I am. Okay, well, I need a job, and I need to be healed from this, and this, and I wish you could help my wife to shut up, and my kids, you know what a mess they are, so I don't know how that happened, but it's probably her fault, but not mine, but you know, that's... all right, and let's see, maybe you could get me a better job or something. And I saw that suit over in the store, and my wife said, yes, we'd go to this wedding thing, so I probably could use that suit. So is there some way to give me the money? I mean, oh, by God, and talk tomorrow. This wasn't that bad. When God started getting a hold of my heart, He rebuked me for thinking, I started thinking he was boring because I was boring in my relationship with him. I've told this story before, but it was a real breakthrough for me. One day I dropped the kids off from school and I was going to take the kids to the park to feed the ducks after school. And so as the kids got in the car, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to spend the day with me. And my first thought was, oh no, I got to go home. So I start to drive home, like, okay, Lord, I'll go home. Lord said, why are you going home? I said, because you want to spend the day with me. He said, I can hang out all kinds of places. So he put on my heart, and he had me go to the park. It was a very cool story, and he had me get the bread, and he just taught me lessons. Like, I threw the bread, and the ducks came. And he goes, now pick up grass. And so I threw the grass and the ducks come for a few minutes. And they were like, this is grass. And they leave. The Lord said, that's how it's going to be with people. You feed them my word, they'll come. You begin to feed them a bunch of not profitable thing. And they'll come for a while, but then, you know, you start teaching. It's so cool. And he did all these things. And I went home and I was just like, wow, I was so full of awe that God would walk in the park with me and would show me these things and teach me these things and be this real. And then I got home and the book that I was reading was about Brother Lawrence, and it just happened to be on the chapter about seeing God in nature. And I'm reading it, boo-hoo, crying like, oh my God, you're talking to me, and we just went and fed the ducks, and I'm like on top of the world now, like, let's go for another walk through the neighborhood. I'm not even scared of the construction workers that look strange over there. You know, I got God with me. It totally changed the way that I began to see God wants to spend time with me. And I, yes, it's in the word. And yes, there's sincere prayer time and intercession time. But we want this relationship, spirit to spirit with God, when really, if we're honest, we just want God to take care of us and not to know him. And it's just so powerful. Yes, you got it. Well, this is going to seem goofy. Well, that's why he says you get to shut the door, right? It's okay. It's in faith, though. You got to go there in faith. And you got to go back and go back and go back and go back in faith. And one day you're going to be surprised. One day you're drawing near to God and that faith, and you're opening your heart and you wanting to know him and reading his word and getting to know him. And all these things that might seem a little dry at first because you don't feel like he's answering you. You don't feel like it's happening. All of a sudden you're going to walk in that room to pray one day. Presence of God is going to come in, slay you so much. You'll be out, down, crying, shaking, whatever, going, oh my God, stop. You're scaring me. You're so real. And you will never, ever be the same again. And here's the cool thing about God. Once you break through to that place and it's spirit to spirit and you're growing and you're maturing and you're letting him get out what needs to get out and you're serious about being in his will and you're falling in love with him and falling in love with him and falling in love with him and he's just blessing you and treating you so great. It doesn't stop. There's not the day when all of a sudden he doesn't speak. I don't see Paul ever saying, I'm going through that time in my life when God's not speaking. If God's not speaking, something's blocked the communication. I don't know about you, but if I'm falling for somebody and I'm dating and I'm meeting somebody and I'm regularly talking to them and really falling in love with them, and all of a sudden they decide not to show up for 2 weeks, talk, call, or have any communication at all, something is wrong with that person. Let me repeat that for those of you who are dating people like that. Do you know what I'm saying? God has never, I've been walking and hearing God for 20 some years now, and I can't think of a week when God didn't, I've never had God do that to me. But I didn't buy into a doctrine that he's going to either. And I'll just go deeper and deeper after God. I'll wrestle like Jacob did until he tells me, where did I grieve him? What did I do wrong? Help me, God. When you pray, this is not a formula. Jesus doesn't speak in formulas. When you pray, recognize that you have a Father who is in heaven. You have a Father who is in heaven. You have someone who is just like an awesome dad. A Father. He's beyond a Father. He's the Creator and the Father. He's the deliverer, he's the healer, but you have a Father in heaven. You're not just babbling words. You're not just hoping somebody hears you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Get healed if your Father's hurt you. But you got a Father. Father, come on, he's our Father. Jesus is saying, you got to get this in your spirit. Because your spirit, which is the real eternal you, can go to your Father who is in heaven anytime. Holy, hallowed be your name. Recognize he is a holy, powerful, awesome, mighty, wonderful, all-consuming fire. Don't lose your reverence for who he is. Don't try to make him like your casual buddy while you're out sinning and thinking it's okay with him. There's that awe between he's my dad and he's God. Do y'all get it? He's my dad and he's God. You can't keep sinning if you get it, that he's your dad. You can't whine and cry and say you can't get free if you get it. He's your dad. And he's God. You might have had the worst dad in the world. Satan might have had him so bad you might not have ever even known him. But when you're born again of the Spirit of God, you have a dad who is God. How can we be ashamed of who our daddy is? I have a dad. And he's going to give me wisdom. He's going to give me advice. He's going to help. Come on, folks. I don't know about you, but my sons, we wanted them to get jobs when the time came. Amen? We took care of them. I mean, we helped them out. And Michael Mitchell being in Hollywood, we had to help him pay a little bit of his insurance and stuff like that until he just got whatever they did with his job, he's finally totally in the door, 100%. And now he gets health insurance and vacation and all those things. But in the meantime, we paid what we could to help because we were weaning him but encouraging him and weaning him and grow up, you can do this, wean him. We got a heavenly Father who's going to wean us from being infants. He's going to wean us from whining and crying and bitterness and not doing things his way. He's going to wean us, but he's going to do it gently. He's going to do it as we can handle it from glory to glory. Amen? We don't have a Father, but he wants us to go there. See, we get delusional if we think God's okay with our sin after we've been a Christian for a while. No, that sin's going to bite you, and God is trying to rescue you, and you're off seeing God in a different way because you won't deal with it. But he's also big enough to set you free. Why? Because my dad is God. My Father in heaven is God. But let's just say that. My Father in heaven is God. My Father in heaven is God. My Father is God. See, people think we're crazy. They let Jesus have it when he said, my Father is God. But Jesus is saying, your Father in heaven is God. Holy, powerful, awesome, magnificent God. Don't forget who he is. Holy, powerful, awesome. That should get us more excited that our Father is God, right? Holy, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. And we're not getting to all that, but learn what his kingdom is. What is his kingdom? Your kingdom come. Your will be done. You want to live with divine protection. You want to live with divine provision. You want to live with awesome relationships and healing and deliverance. Then you got to get this. It's his kingdom that has to come into your life, and it's his kingdom that you have to live in. It's in his kingdom where you meet with him spirit to spirit. it's in his kingdom. When Holy Spirit comes in, he actually brings the kingdom of God in. He brings the reign of God in. He brings the provision of God in. He brings the promises of God in. He brings everything we need, but it comes inside of us. And as we die to self and as we increase, how do we bring that kingdom that's inside of us? How do we bring that kingdom that's inside of us into a place that it goes from inside of us into everything around us? Through faith. Faith. And my relationship is increasing through prayer. My believing is increasing. The word is building me up. And with something real in my spirit, where the kingdom of God is, where the Holy Spirit lives, where the Holy Spirit can take me in that secret place, right to the Father, right to my Lord, where all of this really happens for real. Whoa. In that place. As my faith grows, his kingdom expands in me. As my believing grows, you see what I'm saying? And pretty soon it grows so much that it's coming out, and now I'm hidden in Christ. Christ in me is the hope of my glory, amen? But abiding in him, maturing, him becoming everything, living in his kingdom, enjoying his kingdom. That's why some people, when the worship music comes on, it's like, yes. Some people, it's just a nice thing in their head. They're singing and dancing, and that's cool. But when your spirit man is so strong and your spirit man is more real than your natural man, and you believe what the Spirit and the Holy Spirit and your spirit, that connection is doing, then when the worship comes, your spirit man connects with the Holy Spirit, and there is an explosion inside of you of worship. It's like romancing God. And some songs have it and some songs don't. And the deeper the song and the more anointed on the song and the more that person has something pure and holy with God, the more you can go there. Wow. Your kingdom come and your will be done. First, his will has to be done in your life. God's will can be done in your life. God's will can be done in your life. And when you get to a place where his will is being done in your life, you can begin to believe God's will to be done in other situations as he gives you authority, as he releases that. Amen? God, your will is going to be done in my life. Your will is going to be done. I got the faith to believe your will to be done in my son's life. I believe for your will to be done at BFA. I'm believing for your will to be done. Nobody can stop his will from being done in my life. Nobody. Nobody. I can be falsely accused. I can be criticized. I can be backstabbed. I can be slandered, reviled, anything. Nobody can stop God's will from being done in my life except me. There's not a person in here that can stop God's will from being done in your life except you. But you don't know. No, you don't understand. When I'm in his kingdom by my spirit, because his spirit lives in me, then I can have wisdom from him and I can have direction from him, and he can make a miracle where there seems to be no miracle. And I can hear him when he says, I need this straightened out. This is blocking your job. This is blocking your health. This is blocking that. You need to go here and deal with this. Amen. And it's not a 5-second thing. This is a lifestyle. This is reading the word and getting sanctified and getting evil out and agreeing with God and getting your heart healed. Jesus didn't come to heal the brokenhearted if we weren't the brokenhearted. Amen? He can't even begin to heal the brokenhearted till he saves your soul. That's why he says, I came to preach the good news of the gospel to the poor. I came to let them know I'm here. Things are changing. Let me in. The whole gospel. So he says that he came to preach that whole gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He came to preach it. He's still preaching it through us. Amen? Then he comes. Once you get that, I came to heal the brokenhearted. Where Satan has strategically attacked your heart, your spirit, attacked your emotions, attacked the way you feel about yourself and others. I've come to heal that. Get that straight. Then I'm going to set you free from the demonic influences. I've come to set the captives free. Let me heal the places. Let me set you free. Get saved. Know my word. Know my understanding. Whoa. And then let me heal the brokenhearted places. Quit pretending they're not there. Quit pretending the personality issues. Quit hiding bitterness. Quit hiding jealousy. Quit hiding perversion. Let me at them. He's like Mr. Clean with his gloves on. Would you just let me at that perverted, lustful thing in you instead of pretending it's not there? Till you cry out, get it out. Whatever. And he'll start showing you, well, you watched this when you were 5 and your dad was proud of you watching it, thought it was funny. And that's where that spirit got in. Thought it made you a man. And you go back to that place and you see Jesus coming and Jesus saying, son, this isn't what's going to make you a man. This is what's going to try to destroy your mind. And you see yourself running to Jesus, jumping in his lap and putting his arms around you saying, be made whole, be clean. I speak wholeness to you. I speak cleansing to you. I command those evil thoughts and perverted images out of your mind. Just let it go. Living water pours in, and God renews your mind and cleanses it from that unclean thing that would run through your mind when you least expected it or wanted it. Father, we command that spirit of perversion that was in people's imaginations, planted there by the enemy, to loose the people of God in this place and the ones hearing this in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. And we speak healing to those little boys and even those little girls who had a big brother or a father or an uncle or a sister, some perverted person who thought it was cute and funny when they saw something that no one should ever see. We break the power of that right now. And we speak what God speaks. We speak what our Father in heaven speaks, who is God, who is a holy God. And we will be holy because he is holy. In Jesus' name, amen. And I see the same thing for some people about cigarette smoking and drinking beer. Somebody thought it was so cute that you had that beer when you were 5 years old, and now you wonder why you can't get that taste of beer out of your mouth. Then the truth is, you were trying to please that dad, and something as perverted as you drinking alcohol at a young age made you feel good inside. And God wants to heal that and deliver you from that. And that's what you need to be doing on Monday nights, guys, in the men's meeting. That's what the ladies need to be doing in the meetings. That's what you need to be doing in your prayer closet with God. Let him take you to those places where Satan came in and wounded you with perversion. Amen? Felt that one. Lord, take every single spirit that was, cast out with that out of this place in the name of Jesus and bring healing. I speak to every single little boy, every single little girl who saw themselves in that vision of the one pleasing a mom or a dad or a bigger brother or sister or friend with a perverted thing. Right now, I speak to that person, that hurt place in them, and I say, you are a man and a woman of God. You are a powerful, mighty man or woman of God, and you no longer need to stay this wounded, hurt child trying to please people who don't even know God. And I speak wholeness to you right now, and you are to merge into who they are as a man and a woman of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Whoa.